This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. It's time to step up to the plate with Jim, Steve, Fish, and former two-time Gold Glover World Series champion, Benji Molina.
A swing and a miss, and that's the winner! That's the winner! A World Series winner for the Cardinals!
Ranger, that is! In the left field, December 3000, a run is scored!
Smith courts one into right down the line. It may go! Go crazy, folks! Go crazy!
A high pop ball! The Clover's there! The Cardinals won the pennant! The Cardinals won the pennant! The Cardinals won the pennant!
Breeze hits it in the air to center. We will see you tomorrow night.
Swing and a miss! The Cardinals are world champions for 2006.
In the air to left, well hit. Back is Craig. What a team. What a ride. The Cardinals are world champs in 2011.
Cardinal Nation, welcome to the Thursday morning edition of Two Birds on a Bat. Your host here, Steve, and I'd like to say I was going to fly the ship solo because our boy Jim said, hey, Steve, I'm going to take my oldest up to college, drop him off, get him checked in, try not to have Mama Bear cry too much. And then Benji is on a happy flight out to Anaheim somewhere, so instead of doing the show solo, I decided to call in some reinforcements. So on our M4 by Yachty hotline, I got my brother, our Chicago Cardinal correspondent up there. Bilzers, what's up, brother?
What's going on, guys?
Just sitting here
happy
in studio.
Yeah,
I'm glad you could carve out a little time. I know you're trying to make Edward Jones a ton of money up there and all the investment-wise. So thanks for giving us an hour of your time here. Appreciate that.
You're welcome. I'm just happy being on the M4 by Yachty hotline. Makes me feel pretty cool.
Oh, yeah. You're a special guest. Next up, I got the legend, the man, Bilzer's probably one of our biggest mentors in life.
You got that right.
The former Edwardsville High School baseball coach, Hall of Famer, Illinois Baseball Hall of Famer, right? Coaching, Tom Pyle. Moto, what's up, man?
Hey, man, what's happening? Good to be here.
Give me some more accolades here.
Oh, boy, here it is. That's why you wanted me here. You wanted me to tell you how good you were. Yeah, that's what you wanted. Well, I'll tell you one thing that I really enjoyed is the intro and Jack Buck's voice. I mean, I'll tell you one thing. This guy was the real deal and just a wonderful guy and a great announcer. I mean, I just truly, truly loved him, and that's quite an intro you guys got going here.
Well, that's all thanks to producer Brian, who got us all set up on the board and handles the M4 by Yachty hotline and does all the stuff that we need done pre-show, post-show. Just a great, great producer, but he put all that together. The cool thing is most of our listeners, you know, subscribers out there in podcast world don't know when we have a guest on like Bilzer's on right now, he doesn't get to hear the intro, right, Billy?
That's right.
It's dead silent, so he's just got to sit there silent. And I know you've been a guest on the show before with Jim, but you called in from Florida, so you didn't get to hear the intro, but it's unbelievable what Brian was able to do to get all those calls in there, and it kind of gives you goosebumps, and you like to hear Jack Buck's voice for sure.
Well, and then Ozzie's home run, the one he said, go crazy, folks. I was down there. I was about third row from the top, worked my way all the way down behind home plate, standing room only. I was with a friend, and you talk about go crazy. I mean, this whole stadium went crazy. Cardinal Nation went crazy. And it was one of my highlights of going to so many Cardinal games.
Now, obviously, we won't date you, but, you know, retired school teacher for 30-plus years. And so you've been through, unlike Jim and myself and Benji, you've been through a lot longer Cardinal fandom than we have. So give me, out of all the home runs, out of all the special plays, what's your most memorable play down there for the Cardinals?
Well, one of them is Ozzy, naturally. And then I went to all the three of the four famous home runs by McGuire. See, I moved to Edwardsville, one of the reasons to be closer to the Cardinals. And I had some other jobs, but my wife's family lives in St. Louis, and I love the Cardinals. I started following them in 1950. When they, that does date me. Of course, I was only six, but six or seven. But no, they used to play, Steve, and this is why I had a love affair with baseball, two reasons. The Cardinals and the Saturday game of the week. There's only one game on a week, and that was old Dizzy and Buddy Blattner when he slid into third or second. But I live about 80 miles north of St. Louis, and I used to, in high school, hitchhike to ball games. And anybody that was going to the Cardinal game, I'd call them. I'd find out, even a birthday party, and I wasn't invited. I hear they're going down to the Cardinal game. I'd call the mother and say, hey, can I tag along? And so it just kind of became a thing. If you're going to go to the game in St. Louis, you better call Tom Pyle, because he'll be calling us and bugging us until he gets a ride down there.
Wow. So the McGuire home runs, the Ozzy, we were walking down. There's a guy that has an Edmonds picture in his office that's autographed, and you had a couple stories about him, just a great defender and everything. But you put Curt Flood up above him as far as all-time great outfielder.
Well, only because Flood got everything except maybe one, but we won't talk about it. I met him personally. Well, I saw him one time walking out of the Busch Stadium when I was a kid, and he had a red Corvette, and that kind of turned me on. But anyway, the first time I really met him was in Houston. I went down the Astrodome, never been there. I had a friend that ran a hotel, so a bunch of us went down. And my cousin Billy Joe's, and they had an old-timers game, and we went down there. We snuck our way down in there, went through all the Andy Frame guys, and I talked to him for about 20 minutes, and you talk about a thrill of a lifetime talking to Curt Flood, and so gracious, very, very intelligent. I mean, you know, and he was just a heck of a ball player.
Wow. Now, I'm going to bring on the other spectrum. We got another guest I grabbed out of the office here today, a great ball player in his own right. Just a college kid right now. I'm real good friends with his dad. You coached against his dad. Was a great player here at Granite City. But Joey Wallace joins us here. What's up, Joey?
Not much.
You excited about I had to grab you. I wanted one more guy in here because and the main reason is not really to participate as much, but just to hear the stories from, you know, with a guy that one of my main mentors in life, just because every time you bring up a subject, he has a story on it, and they're usually pretty good.
Well, I got a story on Joe Wallace. He was a tremendous catcher at Granite City, one of our rivals, and when the All-State teams come out, and, you know, people don't make All-State just because they're great. They make it because somebody nominates them or talks about them. So I nominated your dad for the All-State, Illinois All-State, and naturally he made it. And he was just a great receiver. He could hit, and he was a great leader.
Well, I've never heard that story before. That was nice to hear.
Well, he was a player, my friend, and I'm sure you've heard a lot of it. But you talk to anybody that played at Granite City in his era and with him, and they'll give him a lot of accolades. Now, he had a little bit of a temper, but that's all right. You know, he was competitive.
That is for sure. Well, let's get on to talking a little bit baseball, and we'll talk some Cardinals now, and then we'll get back to reminiscing on some stories, I'm sure, as we go along. But we're sitting here August 24th, right? And the Cardinals are still sitting there at 4.5 games out of the Central, 4 games out of the wild card. It seems like the Cubs keep winning. Milwaukee still has pressure on us. Pittsburgh pressure on us. And it seems like we just keep pissing away games. night in and night out. Coach, I got to lean on you for everything. What is it that this organization should have done, could have done, would have done? Where are we making a mistake? Why aren't we winning ball games?
Well, Steve, we don't have enough time to address all those issues. There's winners and there's losers. And there's a reason you win and there's a reason you lose. I don't care what it is, baseball, selling investments like Billy's doing, mortgages like yourself, there's you win or you lose or break even sometimes. And it seems like the Cardinals are breaking even. And there's a reason for that. 3 years ago, I predicted that the Cubs would be ahead of the Cardinals, and it's coming. Well, they didn't do it that year, but they beat them in the playoffs, and then last year, naturally, is history. They won the World Series. Now, why in the world would the Cubs, who's never won a World Series, win one? Well, they went out, and they got the guy from Boston, Theo. That's the beginning. And he started accumulating players. That costs money, and you got to spend money to get stuff. And he had some pockets. But everybody's got the pockets because you got TV, advertising, all kinds of things to make money besides ticket sales. So they had the money. They went out and spent it. But the main thing they got is Madden. Now, is Madden all world? No. Is he great? No. But he's better than most of the managers. See, I don't think there's that many great managers out there. I think they're robots. They just kind of put it in, drive and let it go. They don't manage. They don't move the ball. They don't do things, which we'll get into later. But the biggest mistake the Cardinals made, by far, was not hiring Francona or Oquendo. I talked to Oquendo. I played golf with him one time at the Bluffs, and it was unbelievable. After the round, by the way, he shot three over or three under, I forget. He had five birdies and two bogeys, so, yeah, he was three under, unbelievable. Taught himself how to play. So we talked 5 hours. This is a long time ago, and this guy knows baseball. And if you talk to anybody that's ever been associated with the Cardinals when he was there, this guy could flat out teach. And see, you got ball players. They're major leaguers. They can hit better than most people. They can feel better than most people. But you still got to make them better if they don't have the ability to make themselves better. Stan Musial, Ted Williams, Hank Aaron, those types were just great. Above the rest type of athletes, and they were great, and they were always great year in and year out in consistency. But if you're not that great, you can get better. Now you, for an example, Steve Flowers is a great example. You were a junior playing for me, and I tried to work you in as much as possible, and you just didn't hit that good. I don't know, maybe you didn't get enough reps. There's all kinds of reasons why you didn't hit that good. But you had this desire to be better, so you worked at it. You worked at all facets of your game. And you believed, which was your biggest asset, was believing in your own abilities. And then you hit 396 your senior year and a leader of the state championship team, one of the leaders. And I'm a believer in that. I don't care if you're at the major league level, college level, high school level, little league, select teams, I don't care. You can get better. But for some strange reason, the Cardinals, who are average at best, and the reason they are 500 is because they're average. I was thinking driving over here, Steve, if we put a grade on them, A, B, C, D, F, at all of their facets of the game, there's a five-tool player. Hits a home run, he can hit for average, he can defend, he can throw, and he can run. Now, if you equate those five things to the Cardinals, and this is all you have to do, to every player, you'll come out maybe with a C, except for maybe Molina. And I'm not talking about the pitchers, because we got some good starting pitchers that we have blown, some great, great starts by the pitching. And that's why the Cardinals are always a threat and always good, because mostly because they're pitching. But if you equate the AF system to every ball player, the only guy that will come up probably above a C, in my opinion, is, now I'm talking speed, arm, and all of it, is maybe, it's definitely Yachty.
So let me ask you this. I get you with the 5-tool player, but the more I watch the Cardinals play day in and day out, I almost think that there's a 6-tool, and it's something that I picked up playing high school baseball for you, and that's baseball smarts. And it seems like the Cardinals just don't have the smarts, whether it's running the bases, hitting cutoffs, doing the little things. It's not always Molina's not fast, but he steals bases in situations. He takes care, opportunities and gets that done.
But I don't think Molina's the slowest runner on the team. I tell you what, we have got a mess of Cardinals. They cannot run. They don't take the extra base. They coast into second on a ball hit to the right field when they're on first. And Steve, you're exactly right. Instincts and smarts. We don't have good baseball instincts. And now that doesn't mean they haven't been taught in the minors or college or high school or whatever. But they just don't have great instincts. I asked Red Chandies one time, great, great, great Cardinal, great ball player. I said, boy, you got to play with all of them, Red. Willie Mays, all of them. Willie Mays, best ball player ever. He said, oh, no. Best ball player I ever played with was Hank Aaron. I said, you got to be kidding. He said, Hank could do it all. And one word he used, Steve, instincts. He never missed a cutoff. Now, did he steal as many bases? No. But Red said he could have. They didn't run. The Braves didn't run, and the Giants did. Excuse me. But instincts are another tool that I didn't address. I was talking about the physical more, right. But they're just not they're not very good intelligent-wise. You're right.
Bilzers, you're seeing the same thing, right? I know you're up there in the Mokena, Illinois market and watching as many games as you can while you chase around three little ones, your middle being the terror of the house. But
yep.
You're seeing the same thing, right?
Absolutely. It's very frustrating because it's such an odd team compared to what we're used to. We're used to the cutoff man being hit and the extra base being taken and not being thrown out by three steps at third base. And we're used to those little things. It's very hard to watch a team this fundamentally bad. And we've been beating that over the head for the last 3-4 months. It just how fundamentally flawed this team can be at times. It seems that, lately they've picked it up a little bit, and certainly I think they're feeling the pressure about it. But, yeah, we got to do something about that.
Yeah, I know last year we had the issue where it seemed like we were kicking the ball around the field a lot. There were a lot of physical errors, ground ball to shortstop, a play not made is one of our favorite sayings around here is, that doesn't go in the book as an error, but that's got to be made if you're going to be a championship caliber team. I think the last couple of months we've seen them clean up the defense a little bit, but I keep seeing those mental errors day in and day out, and then all of a sudden the biggest glaring thing that we're going to get into here in a little bit is just the bullpen. I mean, our starting pitchers have done what they needed to do, but when you turn it over and you have absolutely zero confidence in anybody getting an out or getting through an inning, that's an issue that your pitchers are giving you starting pitchers giving you an opportunity to be a better than 500 ball club, but you're pissing away games night in and night out.
Well, let's get back to the defense first, Steve, because that is glaring. You want to play football? You better play defense. You want to win a basketball championship? You better play defense. You want to play, win a championship baseball? You better play defense. Remember how we used to stress that?
Yeah, you always said, hey, we need good pitching, we need great defense, and we need timely hitting.
Timely hitting. You don't need 20 hits. You only need two. But they got to come or even one, but it's got to come at the right time. But defense, here's part of the problem. If you go all the way back to Kissel, who was a fundamentalist and a great, great teacher. You know, some people can teach, others can't. And some people don't want to teach. It's hard to teach. And then I'm going to get back to a Kendall. This guy didn't just help the infielders. He worked with outfield. He worked with hitters. He worked on the base running. He did it all, and he was a great, great teacher. That's why they miss him, and more than you think. So, defense, why? It's the same thing with instincts, in a way. You have instincts on how to field a ground ball, and either there are just ways to do all kinds of them. Ozzie Smith used to, of course, he's the greatest, at least I think so, and defensively. And what did he do? He worked at it. He was the greatest then, and he still worked at it. Every day he worked at different things, different techniques. And Oquendo was a big part of that, hitting him ground balls, throwing him ground balls, whatever. And Ozzie worked at becoming better, and he was already the best.
Right.
Now, do they work at that much? No. They say, well, we don't bunt because we can't bunt. You can't bunt because you haven't been taught. Ricky Horton one time, about 3 years ago, goes over bunting. He's right on. He's the way I like to bunt. And all the fundamentals. Bring in Ricky Horton and forget about batting practice or so much of it. It's all is lobbing a ball in and hitting it and making you feel good so you can park it. Hey, work on some bunting. You can teach, I can teach Billy Flowers to bunt right now in this studio if he was down here in 15 minutes. Now, if he doesn't get it right, I'm going to hold him accountable, or he's not going to get an opportunity to bunt because he's not going to play. But the thing of it is, you can teach bunting. Don't tell me you can't bunt. We don't know how to bunt. No, they don't know how to bunt. They don't even have the bat in front of the plate. What do they expect? So you got to teach defense, even though they're great. You still got to go over it. And you have got to hold ball players accountable. These guys aren't held accountable. I'm not saying they're loafing necessarily, but you know as well as I do, Steve, if you don't hold somebody accountable, hey, they don't care. They'll go through the motions, and that's what the Cardinals have become. They are a microcosm of their manager. They are passive. They are not that aggressive. They are soft in a way. I think he's soft. I mean, I think he handles the media about as well as you can, and he talks great. You know, and I like Mike. I thought he was a great ball player and like him. I just don't think he's got the experience. And you got to have little things. Madden, the reason I like him, he does little things to win. They might not seem like much. Like right now, they say he's giving them time off, and he's being criticized. Hey, if it works, try it. Think outside of the box a little bit. Change up your batting practice. Work on some different things. Get some people in there. You got the money, have a second base specialist, a shortstop specialist. And you know as well as I do, Steve, you played second base in every game at second. Now, I'm going to move you to short tomorrow. I'm going to move you to third base tomorrow, Steve. Now, tomorrow you're going to hit two and then seven. Then you're going to hit eight. And then, well, wait a minute, you're going to play left field Thursday. And now you're going to play first base. We've had about six different first basemen. We had a first baseman, but we traded him. I'm not saying he's great, and he was struggling, but he really didn't have an opportunity, and like he got with the Braves. The thing of it is, Carpenter screwed up the whole mess by putting him at first base. Then you limited certain moves, and you had to plug in certain ball players. And we've made some, you know, I think we've made a couple of good trades, a couple of good acquisitions, but my God, I mean, Cecil, this guy, Steve, you could throw it better than he can. And it's unreal. And then we're burnt out. Then all of our pitchers all of a sudden got arm problems. Because this poor Bowman, I watched him the other day when he gave up three straight base runners. But his first three pitches were moving, and they were flowing, and I was really impressed for a skinny guy like that and throwing that many innings. But then he's burnt out, man, I think. I mean, you know, I just think he's burnt out. But he's got the arm. But you can't pitch him every day and all this time, that little guy. And then you got O going wrong, but we still used him back when we were in the slump. We had Rosie having little problems. We used him, but you got to say, look, they haven't got it. Rosie can't throw the ball now because he's been burnt out. And even our starters to a degree. I mean, it's sad. And I think we missed Dave Duncan a bunch too.
Oh, absolutely. Folks, if you don't know why I brought Tom Pyle in studio, he makes the job so easy around here. All you got to do is lob him up a question, and he'll take it over from there. So makes it real good. Hey, I'm going to get to a little house cleaning stuff here. Make sure if you're, you know, obviously if you're listening to the show, you're a podcaster. So, you know, we can't thank Lineup Media Group enough here for giving us a studio. Coach, what do you think? Pretty awesome in here?
Well, I tell you, this is really awesome.
Really awesome. So lineupmedia.fm, if you like podcasts, get on, check out the lineup that we have. It's unbelievable. I think we're, Joey, what would you say, 50-plus shows, different podcast shows?
Yeah, right around 52, I believe.
Okay, perfect, perfect. Joey works here, does it all. If you want to follow us, social media is the best way to catch us. Jim handles all that stuff. He really loves the interaction. I just love reading it. But Twitter's real easy, Birds on a Bat Show, at Birds on a Bat Show there. Facebook, just type in Two Birds on a Bat. You can follow us on Facebook, and he loves the interaction. If you want to get him fired up, just say something off the wall. I mean, I went back and forth with a guy a couple weeks ago. I'm just sick of watching these pitchers hit. I'm done with it. It's about time to make a change. So I just brought out, I would love to see the DH brought into the NL and be done with it. I'm a traditionalist. It breaks my heart to say it. But at the end of the day, come on, really? Everybody else has a DH in every other league, starting from Little League, T-ball, on up through high school. Everybody DHs. And all of a sudden, the National League wants to stay with something just because it's 125, 150 years old. Is it time to move away from pitchers hitting?
No question about it. And I'm a traditionalist.
Yeah.
I mean, 1950 on. Come on, Steve. But no, there's got to be some changes made. And they try, and they dinker with the strike zone. They dicker with the time of a game and stuff. All that could be cut out. First of all, the umpires would call a strike, and if they even call a borderline ball a strike. But what they do, they miss the strikes and call them balls, and then the game lasts forever. But no, I'm for the DH. It gets you. That's why one of the reasons the American League is ahead of the National League. We used to be ahead of them. Now they're ahead of us because of the DH. It also, and let's face it, baseball now, another reason I'm a little bit down on it, it's not the game like it used to be. Bunting, hit and run, you know, even a first and third situation. How many times we run a first and third, Steve, and score?
Every time I do it, still in man ball. You would have been proud of me the other night.
Good.
So ran it, got them all confused. The catcher ends up throwing it out in the center field as I'm waltzing in the second base. Run scores, I go to third. Naturally, I'm out of breath because I ran from first to third. Wanted a pinch runner there, but they didn't give it to me.
Well, Steve, you've had a few pork chops since 1990.
You ain't a kidding, Coach.
But here's the deal. You remember the 1990 state championship game?
I was there, yeah.
Were you there, Steve,
there.
When you hung on the ball too long when you got the final out? How many times did we bunt?
Four or five?
In the ninth inning. It went nine innings. Yeah. We bunted four times in the ninth. Two of them were squeezes. And who won, Steve?
We did, Coach, I believe.
I'll be darned. A team that was all world, Joliet Catholic, we bunted the ball. Every time we'd go to state, we'd bunt. Every time we had a tough time of it, we'd bunt. Because you can bunt it before you can hit it. If you can't bunt, you can't hit that consistently. But getting back to the DH, I like it, Steve, even though it's a far, far cry from traditional baseball. But it's not traditional baseball. Traditional
right.
baseball is a guy going out and throwing nine innings. We're lucky if we can get five innings out of guys because they want to be so fine and they throw so many pitches. And now it's the sixth inning, seventh inning, eighth inning, ninth inning, a different guy. Well, I can see that if you got the pitchers to do that. So I'll tell you what I'd like to do, and I know they tried this, one team did a couple years ago. You have 10 starters, three relief, and two of them are closers. No, have 12 starters and two relief or whatever you keep, and alternate them. You know, they go four innings. That's your four innings. You threw your 60 or 70. If they want to play that game of so many pitches per game, then let them go four innings. Then the next guy comes in. Then the next guy. And then you got two flamethrowers that are closing the ball game like we used to do. You remember we would, you know, Tommy Price or somebody, they'd only go so many innings and we'd save them. Right. That way when you come in, rather doing a bullpen, now you're coming into a competition and in a game doing a bullpen. So, anyway, change it. Cardinals are struggling big time. I don't know how many games we've lost. Over 20.
It's over 30.
It's 30.
That we've had the lead going into the seventh inning or later.
Yeah. And remember when we won 100 games? We had one.
Right.
One time going into the eighth, we didn't have a lead that we didn't win. There again, you got to look at the total package. Go out and spend some money. Get you a bopper, a three or four. We haven't had a three or four since Holiday was going good. And you got DeJong hitting three. Well, I know why he put him there. He's one of the few guys that were hitting. He had Biscotti going at three. Then Biscotti couldn't hit. He had Carpenter leading off for 2 months, and Carpenter couldn't get it done. And he's told him, point blank, I want to hit one. Well, hit him one. And then Fowler graciously moved to two. That's fine. Now you got Fowler in a key spot, 3-4. A position you always wanted to hit in, Steve, but we wouldn't let you.
I know.
But you got to hit five. So anyway, we got a lot of five hitters, a lot of six, seven, eights, and maybe even a couple of leadoffs, but we don't have 3-4. Plus, we have no speed. You brought up Pierre. You won six out of seven games with him, and one of the games that he started. Now, one of the games he was up, he didn't start, and we lost. So six out of eight games. I mean, I know we weren't playing the New York Yankees, the 27 Yankees, but the thing of it is you had a little speed, a little life.
That's it.
And then you had Bader, who's got some speed. Well, we bring him up, send him down. Bring him up, send him down. We send down Piscotty if he can't hit. Bring him up, he goes 2-for-4. Next game he goes 3-for-4 or whatever. Then we send him down. You know, why are we sending him down there? I don't know that reason, and I'd love to know what it is.
Well, just to make room for the others, I guess, and they're in a slump. It's amazing that they go down there, and I know Jim's talked about this ad nauseum. If you got to send somebody down to learn how to hit, why don't you have that guy who's coaching them down there coaching them up here? And I get it. There's the pressure is not as great down there. The competition level is not as great. But at the end of the day, we're going to touch on a bunch of stuff. And I want to get to what we like as our team moves forward these next, you know, I guess we got call-ups here coming in another week or so, September call-ups, where we'll expand the roster, where we'll start seeing these guys. But real quick, last couple of things, I got to get the house cleaning thing here. I got to give a shout out to the RallySquirrel.com report, Nate McHenry over there. Make sure you check out his Facebook page, RallySquirrel.com. Another shout out, Chris Lawless and his Facebook pages, Cardinal Nation, Cardinal 24/7. I want to thank you guys for all your support, the Cardinal Freak as well on Facebook. Make sure you follow us on Facebook, most importantly in Twitter. So we love to have that interaction. Jim does at least, and that's pretty much where we need to go. Keep downloading. If you like what we're saying here on the show, you're listening to it, share it with your friends. So tweet it out. Share it on Facebook. Tell people that, hey, there's a bunch of jackasses in here that think they know something about baseball that like to talk a little bit, or in Jim's case, hear himself talk. So make sure you share it. That's how we are going to grow our following. Bilzers, a little shout out for what you do with Edward Jones, and then we're going to take a break and hear from me and Emily in Supreme Lending.
Yeah, sure. Edward Jones Investments. You've seen them around. We got 15,000 offices in the United States and Canada. If you're up in Chicagoland, give me a call, 708-923-6678. Thanks.
Well, we sure would love to have Edward Jones Corporate get on as a main sponsor here. That would probably help us out in our pocketbooks a little bit and keep the studio lights on. But in the meantime, the company that is sponsoring the show is a company I happen to work for, Supreme Lending. We do home loan mortgages. So if you're in the need for, you know, you're looking to buy a home, you're one of the millennials that love to hear a couple of clowns on the radio or on the podcast talk a little bit, you like my opinion or you don't like my opinion, I think you'll like what I do with the mortgage lending services. So just a little break here. You'll hear from my wife and I. We're a team for Supreme Lending. Hey, Cardinals fans. This is Steve and Emily Flowers with Supreme Lending. When we're not watching our Redbirds chase another world championship, we're helping buyers finance their dream home.
That's right. Whether you're a first-time home buyer looking for down payment assistance or an experienced buyer looking for your next move, you deserve the best. So call us now at 618-655-0483. We have all the bases covered when it comes to your next home loan. FHA, USDA, VA, and conventional. We do it all here at Supreme Lending.
Homeowners, with our refinance programs, you could lower your rate, get cash out to consolidate debt, or even remodel that bathroom, kitchen, or the outdoor space you've been dreaming of.
The bases are loaded in your favor here at Supreme Lending. Call us at 618-655-0483 or visit us online at steveflowers.supremelending.com or search us on Facebook at Steve and Emily Flowers-Supreme Lending.
Go Birds!
All programs and terms are subject to change without notice and subject to underwriting approval. Supreme Lending, NMLS 2129, is not affiliated with a government agency. Steve Flowers, NMLS 227652. Emily Flowers, NMLS 1256327. Missouri Company Registration 17-2156. Branch NMLS ID 1453720. Located at 361 1 Richardson Square Drive, Suite 200. Equal housing lender.
Perfect. This is where Jim would normally say, thanks, Steve. We appreciate your support. So I'll just pat myself on the back, and we'll take it from there. And once again, we got my brother, Billy Flowers, on the M4 by Yachty hotline here. We got Joey Wallace in studio. He's probably just here more on an education basis. You learning anything, Joey?
Yeah, a whole bunch. This is great.
Let me tell you what. This is better than going to any class you'll take today or tomorrow. You'll learn more here than ever before, because I got one of my main mentors in, Coach Tom Pyle, history teacher. I told you we could talk some politics and some history, but you want to avoid that for sure, because you might get all fired up on what's going on in today's society. So let's talk a little bit about what have you learned this year from the Cardinals team and the players they have in place moving forward? What are you looking for going into September call-ups? Are we still in the race? Do we have a better chance at catching the Cubs? Do we have a better chance at getting that wild card? And I think we all know what we need to do during the offseason is get a middle of lineup hitter and some pitching. But at the end of the day, if we go position by position and start with Yachty, you know, the catcher position, I don't think there's really much to do with him. He signed. He's got his contract. He's getting paid. He's getting the money, probably more for what he's done for the Cardinal organization than what was expected to be his value. But the guy's hitting high 280s. He's got 15 bombs, looking at maybe getting 20 bombs, which would be a career high. Still throwing runners out. Still great defensively. Anything to add on Yachty?
Well, you said it all about Yachty except one thing, his leadership. His leadership is key. And, I mean, he is the man now because a couple of them have left. But I want to address one thing here, Steve, besides Yachty, because we all know he's great. I think he'll be a Hall of Famer. But anyway, evaluation. You got to evaluate talent. And I don't think the Cardinals do a great job of that personally. I know for a fact that when Albert Pujols came up, of course, this is a long time ago, but I met him at a winter warm-up, and I saw his biceps and his arms, and I said, my God, the guy ought to be a kickboxer. This guy was stacked. But that doesn't make you a great ball player. I mean, you don't have to have the big muscles. I mean, or you would have never played, Steve.
Pujols reminds you of a young Steve Flowers,
yes,
right?
Yes, he does. But I remember Tony saying, well, he's 2 years away. Now, think about this. 2 years away, and then Bonilla went down, and Pujols comes up, and the rest is history. One of the greatest ball players will be mentioned as one of the top 30 ball players of all time, probably. But anyway, that's just there then. Now, I look at this. How come is Tommy Pham, a guy that's sitting on the bench in spring training and not up, one of our best ball players? Okay. Why is DeJean, who Simmons was with the Braves, said, man, if you guys don't take him up with you, then we Braves ought to try to get him. Now we see him come up. We see Peralta, who I never was a fan of signing for obvious reasons. I mean, he made the routine play for a couple of years, and that's about it. He got a few hits, but for a guy with that type of a signing, you expect more, and you got about an average ball player for 2 years and then nothing. And that was a bad sign. I question who they're signing, and I question the evaluation of the talent level, because the younger kids are, and you're saying, well, what are we going to do in September? I think we're about done, Steve. We brought up all the minor leaguers that are pretty good, except some pitching. Maybe we got some pitching down there. But again, why are they down there? How many years does it take before you're ready? Willie Mays, how long did it take before he was ready? He was 20. I mean, Hank Aaron, those guys are 20. Stan Musial, how long does it take to get them good? Hey, just like little Wallace over there is doing, he's learning on the job. We'll get them up there and let them play and get up their feet dirty. And if they're good, they're good. And if they're not, they're not. Let's do a better job evaluating.
Yeah, and I would venture to say that I'm not off on our evaluating talent, because there's a reason why we held on to Tommy Pham, right? Even though he was injury prone. He's a good ball player.
He's very good.
Look what Colton Wong's doing. I mean, are you sold on Colton Wong? Bilzers, have you seen enough this year that he's hitting 310-ish?
This is the year that I think everybody wanted from Colton Wong. Somebody who's going to get on base, hit for some average. His defense is cleaned up. You know, what more do you want out of your second baseman? I think he's been phenomenal.
So I'm sold on Colton Wong. You don't need a second baseman next year, right?
No.
Right.
But here's the thing, Billy, too. Colton Wong changed. Somebody got a hold of him. I don't know who, and whoever got a hold of him, or several, they need some credit. This guy swung from the fences. He hit 11 home runs or something. Now he thinks he's Babe Ruth. Hey, you cannot swing for the fences. Let it come if it comes. And he's not big enough. He's got good bat speed, but he was swinging at a lot of balls. And that was the biggest Cardinals problem a few weeks ago. Swinging at balls in the dirt and letting the gut shots go right down the middle, and you'd either foul them back or let them go. But Wong has... And Jim Edmonds addressed it best. He said, look at Wong. He's within himself. He's not trying to kill the ball. He's not trying to hit it out of the yard. He's trying to hit it where it's pitched. That's always been since baseball was invented. Hit the ball where it's pitched. Outside, hit it to left. You know, if you're a left-handed hitter, whatever. And that's what Wong is doing now, and it's improving his defense some. He's not a great second baseman. He would be a heck of a lot better if he had Oquendo with him every day. Here I go again with Oquendo. I probably want to marry him. But the thing, we could take a trip together to Puerto Rico.
Well, you're on one side of Florida a lot of times, and he's on the other, so you guys can somehow get together. It's a short drive.
It's 3.5 hours across the Jupiter. I'm on the Gulf side. By the way, we've got about 7 minor league teams around us in the spring, Steve, and you got to come down.
I tell you this every year. I'm going to make it down.
Yeah, well, that's what you always say. But anyway, yeah, it's pretty great. But the swing of Wong, getting back to that. Now, Piscotty, why did he go in a big slump? He doesn't know the strike zone. I read Ted Williams' book, and I only used one thing. And only one thing, because he's just a great hitter. You can't do everything he's writing down. His eyesight was phenomenal. You know, it was way above 20/20. Ted Williams said, if a ball's down the middle in a square, you'll hit 400 and above. If you hit it 400 above, you still fail six times. And the further that strike zone went out, the batting averages go down. You get out to the very end of the strike zone, now you're hitting about 260. Now, what are you going to hit when the ball's outside of the zone? Even a close strike, you're going to hit 200. Now, what are you going to do when the ball's in the dirt? And the Cardinals were swinging at ball. They don't recognize pitches. If a ball's spinning and it's 5 feet in front of you, or even 7 feet in front of you, and it's spinning, and it's below the knee there, where's it going to be when it gets to you? I mean, I'm sure they've addressed that and said that sometime along the line, but you got to hit strike. It's hard enough to hit a baseball, as we all know. One of the greatest things in sports is hitting a baseball. But, and it's the hardest thing to do, one of them, but learn the strike zone. You ever see Stan Musial? Did he swing at balls? Does Ted Williams swing at balls?
Well, I believe Ted Williams said, turned around to an umpire that called a strike on him and said something along the lines of, hey, I'll let you know when it's a strike because I'm going to swing.
That's right. And I mean, we're using great ball players here. Right.
Let me ask you this.
Learn the strike zone, please.
Coach, and this is something that just kind of came to me as you talk about it. What is it with these check swings? I mean, do you believe that these guys, I mean, are those legitimate swinging strikes, or should they ease up on that a little bit? You see these guys trying to hold up. It's virtually impossible when you're trying to start your swing to catch up to 97, 98, and somebody throws you a slider that starts at the, you know, at the knees, and you recognize it, you literally cannot hold up, and you're not taking a swing. I mean, is that going to be – I mean, I doubt they ever change anything like that. We're so used to it. But so many times I'm looking at these check swings like, that guy barely got the bat off of his shoulder, and it's a strike.
Yeah, well, you launch and lay off. Launch and lay off. Now, what they're doing, launching too long, and they've committed. But you always get ready. Every pitch, a launch might just be triggering your fist.
Right. It's swing, hand. Swing, swing, take.
Yeah, yeah. And you want to be ready for everything. See, you got to look fastball and then adjust. And you got to see white. Too many guys guess. You see white and react. That doesn't mean you can't look for a pitch in certain situations, but you see white and react. And here's my biggest bugaboo. Runners at third and don't score with one out or no outs. Runners at second and third and no outs. Runners at first and second and the pitcher's up. Lynn was up the other day, first and second, nobody out. Hits a line drive, but who cares? Learn how to hit a fly ball. Hit the bottom half of the ball. I tell people that all the time. They say, well, you can't do that. Just hit the ball. I said, you go ask any Edwardsville ball player. We addressed hitting the bottom half, hit and run, hit the top half, and otherwise hit the middle. Hit the middle of the ball. And they said, well, you can't do that. Hey, go ask Steve Flowers. We worked on that constantly. We worked at this. Keep the hands back, 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 and quick through the zone. Back and quick through the zone. I had an umpire in Chicago when we won the state in 98. He said, I've never seen 1 through 9 keep their hands back that long and so quick through the zone. Hey, you just think all those guys came up to Edwardsville High School and started varsity? We worked at that every day. Back, back, quick. Back, back, quick. I mean, you got to be quick through the zone, but you got to hit a strike in that zone, and that takes instincts, like we addressed, discipline, and accountability. want it, do it, work at it. Ozzie Smith, you're the best fielder, but he kept working.
So that's another thing that, by the way, listen, splitting time yesterday between watching the game on television and on the radio. Let me tell you, I really like Mike Claiborne on the radio.
I do, too.
Love him on the radio. But they talked about, him and Shannon talked about that these guys don't take infield, outfield in pregame anymore. That they don't work on it. They do it in spring training, but when it gets time to, you know, day in and day out, things that you do in at the little league level, middle school level, high school level, college, minor leagues, that they get to the big leagues and they stop doing the infield, outfield, and they're not hitting their cutoffs.
Well, let me tell you why old Kendall's gone. One of the theories is Matheny wanted to get away from that and save time. Hey, you could save time and stuff and not do it an hour, maybe just 15 minutes. But that's why old Kendall and him had the problem. Old Kendall wanted to keep the infield going and some things, and they got into a rhubarb. Well, who's going to win that rhubarb?
The head man in charge.
The head man. The head man's going to win that, and plus he is DeWitt's and Moe's baby. Somebody that they wanted, they went with him, and of course they want him to have success. They didn't go with Francona. What's Francona done since in the last 10 years?
Just win.
That's all. He wins at Boston. They never won. Francona wins a couple. Then he has Lackey and the other dude, the left-hander that can't pick anybody. What's his name?
Lester.
They eat chicken and drink beer in the thing, supposedly, rumored, allegedly. And he couldn't handle it, they said. So they let him go. Well, he's open. We don't get him. Cleveland picks him up. How many games did Cleveland win before he got there? How good were they? Now they're winning. There's a reason why you win. I watched the special on Earl Weaver. He goes into the Boston Red Sox. They're terrible back in the day. He comes in and says, well, we're going to do this, this, and this, and this. Why do certain guys win and certain guys don't? Why does Lou Saban? Of course, he gets the best talent. But he wins wherever he goes and will. And so on Urban Meyer and those football coaches or baseball coaches or basketball. Why does Phil Jackson win everywhere he goes in basketball? Not that he's a great coach and his X's and O's are that great. He only ran two plays and the triangle, which everybody runs, it's psychology. He knew how to handle the players and he knew how to get the most out of them, and that's why you win. Certain guys win, certain guys lose. Let's change things and start winning again.
Perfect. So as we go through that lineup, we've gotten a catcher and a second baseman, so let's go right to the guy who's leading it. Matheny, is he your guy for next year, or is he some, or do we have to look for somebody new?
Well, he's been there 5 years, and you'd think he'd got the experience now. Like I said, he was a catcher, and he was a good one. But he didn't have experience. He didn't work in the minor leagues and work his way up. Tony La Russa worked his way all the way up from the minors and so on and so forth. Whitey wasn't a great ball player. Tony La Russa wasn't a great ball player, but they were managers. You know what I'm saying? And the reason everybody still loves Whitey is because we know the talent level he had. It wasn't that great. But he made it great, and he traded away some very popular ball players to get who he wanted. But he knew what he wanted. He wanted speed, he wanted defense, and he wanted a reliever. He said, the first player I'm going after is a closer. That's the first player. He got Sutter.
Suter. Yep.
He got Suter. And when Suter left, he said, I just became a 45-game manager dumber because Suter left. But and if you ever talk to the White Rat, that guy is like O'Kendall and some of those other dudes. They forgot more baseball than most people know.
Bilzers, Matheny or no Matheny?
You know, I read Matheny's book a few months ago. I finally picked it up, and it really gives you some insight onto how he thinks, and you can't really put that thing down without respecting him a little bit. But I think I'm with Moat on this. You gotta somewhere some of these other guys, La Russa and Whitey and Francona, they've all got a little bit of a rusty nail about them. You know, there's a little bit of an edge about them that Mike just doesn't seem to have. And if you look at this team, they're a little bit boring. Am I right? I mean, it's sometimes they don't seem to have that edge that I think we're all looking for, with the exception of Lynn and probably Yachty and Tommy Pham now, which has been a fantastic surprise. But, and you know, Moat knows this better than anybody, the player on the personality of the manager. And so it's, you know, no surprise that we've got Piscotty and you know, some of these other guys, Carpenter, that just seem to, you know, not show us that the emotion that I think we're all looking for, and that little bit of an edge. So although I like Matheny, I don't think he's necessarily grown as a manager the last few years, and I think we were all expecting him to at this point have been, I don't know, better, or at least manage the team a little bit better, where they're going to come out a little more fired up like they did in 2013. So that's my take on it. I like him. I wouldn't be upset if they kept him around, but you know, if they went out and got somebody that was a little more Francona or Madden-like, you know, I'm not gonna be upset about that either.
Okay, so let's move on to shortstop. You got Rodney DeYoung playing shortstop. You sold on him for next year? Is he in the right position? Is he? What do you think? Or do we need to go get a shortstop?
Well, I don't know. What I would do is take DeJean and try to make him a little better. He's all right. He's, you know, you're talking major league here. They're all good. But why are some people better than others? And you work with him and make him better. And what I might do is bring up I'm a Diaz fan, even though he struggled, but he got better. There's something wrong with him. See, we don't know, Steve. There could be personal. I think Piscotty's was personal.
Right.
And you go in a slump, and you've been in them, and even when I played, I was in them, and there's nothing worse than a slump.
I mean, think you tried to get me a prom date to get out of a slump, didn't you?
I tried to get you a date, Steve, and it was literally impossible. Nobody would go with you. But no. Hey, get their mind off. That's what Madden does. Like last year, anything to get their mind off of the game, you know what I'm saying. And do the right. See, they always said Cardinal Nation, and they had it. They did everything right. I mean, not everything, but most things right. Even the fans and the way they did their business, and they had great announcers. And of course, we're a small market, and baseball is a big part of St. Louis area, Metro East area. But they don't do the things the same, and it hurts. And Billy, you're right on. You're right on. I like Matheny as a person. I think he's got a lot of good traits. It's just not managing's one of them, you know. And I wouldn't, you know, think outside the box. Take some chances. Try a squeeze. Hey, if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. But see, you got to have guts to put on plays. A lot of people don't have the guts, the fortitude, to put it on the edge. I mean, General Patton criticized a lot, but a winner. And thank God we had him. Those type of people, they're leaders. They're going to do it their way. They're going to think outside the box. They're going to be controversial. Now, one thing about me, I was never controversial. That was the thing I had going for me.
Really? That's a softball toss right there. We'll address that one a different day. But if we moved, and I'm leaving the corners open because I think I want to address those, and obviously we'll get into pitching some other show. Outfield, I mean, I'm pleasantly surprised and happy, I guess, with Fowler coming around these last couple of weeks. He's been on a tear and kind of improving that way, and hopefully that carries into next season. I think he's definitely one of your starters. Tommy Pham, Bilzers, you alluded to it. Not that this guy's come out of nowhere, but he's finally put together a healthy season. I think he has that chip on the shoulder. You're starting to see that attitude of, you know, when somebody says, man, it looks like you got a star's born, where he wants to say, no, the star's been in the system for 10 years. He's just finally healthy. He's getting a chance to play. I think he's earned the spot to – it's his position to lose next year, one of the outfield positions.
Well, there's no question about it, but if you watch Tommy Pham, he's got emotion. Just like Billy said a while ago, he's got some emotion. He's got some fire, and he's hungry. He wants to do well. And he, and one reason he gets picked off, which is bad, you ought to be able to read keys, I'd think. But the thing of it is, he's aggressive and he wants to do well. A guy like that, you want to put your $5 bill in their back pocket and let them do it. But the other thing of it is, why is Yachty so good? Where'd he grow up? Why was his brother so good? They were hungry. They were taught fundamentals by their father. They played baseball day in, day out. That's called instincts. Today, just like when I was coaching, I had to almost tell the kids everything, teach them like they'd never even been taught because they didn't play baseball. Now, I had a few players come in that were better than the others because they played every day. Today, it's even getting worse because you got Nintendo, you got all of those games people are playing. They don't go outside and play baseball. Young Joe Wallace over there smiling at me. Hey, he didn't play half the number of pickup games or stuff his dad did. And I'll bet Joe, his dad played more than he did. It was just something different back then. You could shoot baskets because you shot them. You could throw a football because you played it. You could get tackled and get knocked down and get up because that's what happened when you were a kid. Nowadays, you get knocked down. Oh, my golly, I got knocked down.
Well, let me tell you what. He has a decent wiffle ball game. I've played him. he does have a decent wiffle ball game. I am going to, you know, I'm working on a little some things, and I'm going to take him over again here a couple
was
weeks.
It, 2 for 30 it was I was pitching against you?
Yeah, maybe. But, you know, I was batting lefty. I was trying to give you a shot. The right field porch was a little short. So Bilzers know. Billy and I went back and forth a lot in wiffle ball, and I wasn't afraid to put one in his ear hole if he ever got cocky on me.
That's how I grew up.
So Bilzers, we're going to have obviously, we're running up against our hour here. I know you got to go, but any parting shots for you? I know we didn't talk a lot of current, what's going on, but what are you looking for over this next week? Can we get back into this? Where you like us at, wild card or NL Central?
Well, you know, I think my emotion, and it's been an emotional season. You know, let's not get that wrong. My emotion kind of went out after that last Boston game, after we blew it. And, you know, looking at this team and the high that we were on after the Rally Cat, you really thought that they were just going to come out and start fireballing. And finally we saw an edge with them. And, you know, they just kind of reverted back a little bit, and it's still kind of there. But, you know, even if they are a wild card team, can we say honestly this team's got a shot? I mean, we can't make it through inning 7, 8, and 9 without giving up at least something at this point. So that's going to be hard to win in the playoffs. You know, my parting shot with this is that I would not be surprised at anything for next year. And everything's on the table as far as I'm concerned, with the exception of probably Yadier Molina. You know, you keep him around because he's our backbone. But everybody else, in my opinion, is on the table.
It's touchable.
Trades, whatever.
And I assume you're talking position player wise. I would put Martinez in the untouchables too. But everybody else, I
would agree with that.
Okay. Joey, parting shots. What do you got? What are you looking for this week?
And Cardinal baseball?
Well, we're not talking Dallas Cowboy football today, son.
That's true. I pretty much think you guys have covered it all. You know, I just enjoy watching them.
All right. There you go. Moat?
Well, I think they're done. They had their run. And like Billy said, that Boston series was huge. Two games out there, good team. But I think they're done. I think they brought almost all the stuff up that they can bring, maybe a one or two surprises perhaps. But here's the thing, Steve. How in the world are you going to win it if they're that good and they turn the season around? And I want to bring up one quick point.
Yeah, we got time.
Okay, buddy. Hey, they brought up most of their stuff, and if the guy's so good and can help win you a season down there, then why isn't he up here now? Again, it's valuation. But let's look back on all Cardinal teams that won. They were fundamentally good. They had good pitching or a good reliever. But what did they do? Jack Clark, they bring in. I'll be darned. Berkman, they bring in. Berkman, without Berkman, that year, we don't win it.
Doesn't happen. Yeah,
it doesn't happen. You bring in all these guys. Like I said, Jack Clark. Help me out, Steve. Some other guys they brought in. Cedeno they brought in. Yeah. Cepeda in 67 they bring in. You bring in a stud, a proven player, and plug him into the mix. And that's what the Cubs have done, you know. And you know what's sad about it? You pay Hayworth, and more power to him. The guy can throw, and he can field, and he's probably the best at his position. But he can't hit for the money he's making. But because he can throw and field, he gets all, demands all that money. Cardinals, another liability, Steve, is their outfield arms are not that good. They're not that strong, and they're not that accurate. No, well, they're not going to win.
All right, well, there you have it. You know what? I'm still I jumped off the cliff months ago. I think it was probably April 14th. I jumped off, but they just keep tugging at you. It's like playing golf. There's always going to be that one shot that makes you tune in tomorrow night to see what happens. Hopefully we can get on a roll. We got some games coming up that I think that we can get. We need to get. We got Tampa and one more against San Diego tonight. Luke Weaver had a great game last night. You saw some talent there. I think they need to make a couple of moves. Probably won't happen this year, but during the offseason, let's not over-evaluate our talent. If we got somebody, if we're close, we need to go out and get the necessary parts to compete for next year as well. But just like the golf game, they're going to have me tuned in until mathematically they're eliminated, which we have meaningful baseball going into the last week of August and hopefully early September. So I want to thank everybody for joining today. Joey, appreciate it. I know you. I had to tell you come on in just for the lessons of Coach Pyle here. Big influence on our lives, Billy's and mine. Billy was a 98 yep. state champion.
Yes, sir.
98.
And I was on the 90 state team. So Coach had both of those teams. As a matter of fact, went 40-0 in 1998, number one ranked team in the nation, undefeated, and then went out like John Elway did, went out on top, right? Retired and took all that pension money and
yeah, that's true, Steve. No, I retired. We had a good ball clubs coming back and everything was in place. We had great assistant coaching. We built the field. It wasn't the greatest, but it was a practice facility, a practice and where we could really get after it. And we changed things with the field. I think the field is the most important. And then we had a great school, or a good school, and people started moving in for the athletics. And then we started getting different coaches coming in, and they wanted to play basketball here. They wanted to play football here. They wanted to play run track. And so you get that type of thing. You get better players in, better people, better coaching, and everybody buys in, you know. I mean, they just continued it on. Timmy's done a good job continuing it on, and they got second state this year, which is I think is a big feather because I thought he had better ball clubs couple years ago.
I have to agree with that.
The year O'Fallon beat us down there at Alton, they had a tremendous ball club. I never saw so much talent on Eversville field as that, and that hurts because that was your big team. And but they did something this year. I think they had some leadership on that team, kids that kind of said, "Hey, we're not done yet. I'm tired of we put a lot of hours in, a lot of time. We want to take it to another level," and they did.
14 so. Seniors, I think they graduated off of that team. So,
well, they had some leaders on there, Steve, just like you did in 90. You don't win a state on talent alone. You got to have leadership. You got to have discipline, commitment. You guys had that. All my teams did, but we were just a little bit special. When you got a guy like Tommy Price anchoring the deal, and J.J. Server, the catcher. One time somebody asked me, they said, "Who's your MVP? And they said, "Price." And I said, oh, no. And everybody would tell you it's J.J. Server, the catcher. He was a silent leader, and everybody followed him. You named your kid after him, didn't you?
I did. That I did. So, matter of fact, I need to give him a buzz. But
By the way, I'm a little bit upset you didn't call him Moto.
Well, I can see that.
Who could live up to that?
Who could? Bilzers, one more shout-out for Edward Jones. How does somebody reach you?
708-923-6678. Any Cardinals fans in Chicago want to commiserate like me, give me a call.
Perfect. Bilzers, love you. Appreciate you being on. We'll see you next weekend when I get up there. Moat, love you too, man. Appreciate you coming in, and you're going to have to join us again in studio. You make it so much easier.
Well, I enjoyed it. I love talking baseball. I love the Cardinals. I know I sounded like I didn't. I love them and always will. I've got Cardinal red blood.
Absolutely. From the entire lineup media family, appreciate you guys tuning in. And until Monday when Jim's back, go Birds.
This podcast was a presentation of LightUpMedia.fm.